Blog Talk Radio.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. And I turned up the collar on my favorite winter coat. This wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? I saw a disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man show. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why I want you to know.
Welcome to the Curvy Studio here on Curves and 3D Radio. You know what, baby? They do call me the illustrious, the bad, the bold, the beautiful, Omega Auntie Mother Seal. And I love what I do, and I do it well here in the Curvy Studios, in the Curvy Studios. I am all by my lonesome tonight. I am. All of my ladies are, one had to work, and then the other one, we'll talk about it in our upcoming news segment. But I do have a very special guest, and he's no stranger to the radio because he has his own show. Mr. Reggie, how are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Auntie?
I am absolutely fabulous. This is Mr. Reggie, and he has his own show called MC Reggie Fresh Morning Show. And we're going to meet him in just a minute because I want him to, we're going to introduce him and tell you a little bit about him. He's a young man and entrepreneur, and he's doing his thing lovely. And we're going to be talking tonight about surviving the odds to be young, black, and male in America. That is what we're going to be talking about in Hot Topics tonight, but we do have a fabulous show planned for you all the way around. I do hail from Lakeland, Florida, Central Florida, the beautiful Lakeland, Florida, and I am an entrepreneur. I'm an educator. I'm a plus-size model. I do a little bit of everything to keep the excitement going in my life. You guys, I have so many things coming up. We are a show that caters to the curvy, on-purpose woman, and that's why we're called Curves in 3D Radio. But we are glad to have all of our guests that have joined us this evening. I do want to hear from each and every one of you, but you have to press 1 to get into the Curvy Studios, and that lets me know that you just want to say hi, how you doing, Happy New Year, or even make a comment, or if you have a question or concern, you have to press 1 to speak to the host. I am going to give our show format. Hold on, we have someone that wants to come right on in. Come on in to the Curvy Studios. How are you this evening? Last 4 digits, 275.
I am beauty. How are you doing, my beautiful mentor Omega? How are you?
I am absolutely fabulous. How are you? How are you guys? This is Plus Size Sexy Diva, also known as In the Kitchen with Sister Big Bones, all the way from Wichita, Kansas. I mean, I know you're excited. We're going to definitely be talking to you because you got some great things going on in your area, but how are you tonight?
I am fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. And, you know, I am just so excited about your show topic because it is a topic that needs to be talked about because the black men of America, they are more than saggy pants and a throwaway person. They are men with vision. They are men with business. They are men making families and being successful. And we need to hear about it. We need to know about it. We need to taste about it. We sure do need to swallow it and let it digest and let it simmer inside our soul. I'm so excited about tonight's topic. And, you know, I always support you. So, you know, I'm always on the line on Thursday night, pen and paper at hand and ready to get my knowledge. I'm ready to get fed.
Glad to hear it. You know, as an educator, first and foremost, I teach high school, and I can definitely talk about this subject all day, every day. But I have a man on the line that's going to be talking with us tonight because we want to hear it from a male's perspective. You know, as ladies, as mothers, as sisters, as, you know, grandmothers and aunts, you know, we can always give it to you how we see it, but we definitely want to see it and hear it from a male's perspective tonight. So we are going to be talking to Mr. Reggie in just a little bit, but I still have a phenomenal show, even though I'm solo. And, of course, we do have Plus Size Sexy Diva of I Am Beauty Blog Talk Radio Show that's here with us, so she's no stranger to the Curvy Studio. She is family. She is a honorary host here, so she will be here to help out tonight to talk with us about surviving the odds to be young, black, and male in America. Our agenda is I'm going to go in with Throw Me a Curve. Throw Me a Curve is our In the News segment, and I'm going to share some news. And then I always like to bring it fashion forward. I'm a plus-size model. All my co-hosts are plus-size models, so we always have to bring a little bit of fashion. And then tonight we're going to skip past the beauty segment and the food for thoughts. And we're going to go right into our topic tonight because we definitely want you to be in the know. So, and what's going on with the state of our black young men. So I'm going to start this show off, Reggie. You're from Tennessee, Ms. Plus I Sexy Diva. You're from Wichita, Kansas. But in Florida, we have something that is really hurting a lot of us, especially in the Central Florida area, because on the other day, there was a shooting, and a young black man, and his name, and it's all on the news, you can Google it, is Marquise Lloyd, is accused of killing. He is accused of killing Sade Dixon of Orlando and Orlando PD Master Sergeant Deborah Clayton. There is a full-out manhunt for this young man here in Central Florida with a reward of up to $100,000 for his arrest. He is stated to be armed and dangerous. This is kind of a sing-song thing that has been, you know, happening with the cop, between the cops and versus the black man versus the cop. But when you hear something like this, and then we lost one of our very own, a female cop, black female cop, at the hands of this senseless killing. Let's talk about this because, you know, we're going to keep this on a positive note, but we are dealing with this black man versus the cop, cop versus the black man. Reggie, what are your thoughts on this?
You know, the best thing a person can do is, as being a black guy, is just make sure he always in a good place at all times and always just be, you know, stay away from trouble. And you won't have to worry about that kind of problem.
And I know that my grandmother used to say this all the time, don't let your good be evil spoken of, you know. But, you know, sometimes you can just be your right place, maybe, you know,
somebody
else's
wrong place.
You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
You know,
right.
It's hard to simplify it or regulate it to just be in the right place at all times because, you know, like this young lady,
yeah.
She was performing her job, got shot, killed, you know, daughter, mother, sister, aunt, you know, and she has lost her life. They do have a $100,000 reward. There is a hotline. I'm going to share that hotline with you guys. Go online, look at his face. If you see him, please report it. But be careful because they say he is armed, considered extremely dangerous. They think that he has on a bulletproof vest. But if you have any information about Mr. Lloyd, you can contact 1-800-423-TIPS, T-I-P-S, 1-800-423-TIPS, and give any information that you can about this because we are definitely, I know that Swan, one of our co-hosts, was at the wait tonight for that officer, that slain and fallen officer. So we want to continue here on Curves in 3D to send our prayers and our warm thoughts to the family. Talking to you, Miss Arisa, what are your thoughts on, you know, the go-between, the cops and the black male versus the cops?
Well, you know, there's no place that's going to be 100% safe. There's not going to be a place that's 100% free from people who are up to no good. So it's like now the black man has to be on guard even when he just goes in to a grocery store or a gas station. I mean, that's just added stress. I mean, I'm not a black man, but I am a black female. And it's scary to know now that when we go out and about, we have to be swivel head, looking left, right, up, and down to make sure that someone isn't, you know, looking at us because they think we're going to do something. And, you know, we just have to be, it's like we're more, we have to be careful. We're like slaves that just been freed, but we really don't believe that we are free because we're still got that mentality that, you know, they're going to tell us to come back to the plantation. We're not really free now because it's like we got our papers, but it's written on fake paper. It's not written on a paper that takes us serious. You know, it's like Monopoly money. Yeah, I'm sorry, that we can take serious. You know, it's like playing with Monopoly, you know, going to a store with Monopoly money. It does you no good. So we as a people, we need to come together. We need to, you know, pull our pants up. We need to look like we are something, come together, and maybe we can be taken seriously. I know it's not all about how you look, but it is. It's, you know, we see first. You know, when I meet you, Reggie, if I ever get to meet you, only thing I can see is what I see. If I've never talked to you and got to know you. So if you come to me with your head all looking crazy with a pick sticking out of it and baggy jeans, I'm going to think, okay, this brother is a rough brother. I need to stay away from him. But if I get to know you, then I know that it's just, that's just Reggie. He's just on a casual day. But you don't meet everyone like that on a casual day. They think that you are rough. So we have to start cleaning ourselves up. Our appearance needs to be businesslike. We need to walk
there
and we need to get educated. And we need to walk and walk in our education. I mean, it's okay to talk, you know, jive and everything with your homies at home. But when we're out and about, we need to talk in a way that a CEO would speak. We need to carry ourselves
there
like we're CEOs and not
LABES. We're not in a hot topic just yet, but I'm going to go ahead and put it out there because, you know, I hear what you're saying, but sometimes, you know, I can sit in the boardroom with the CEO, and I can sit at the chicken joint in the ghetto, and I can feel perfectly okay and perfectly comfortable in any one of those situations. I'm talking about Omega, you know, and I don't regulate a look or a, you know, action to say that if I do have an afro, does that make me a criminal? Does that make me ghetto? Does that make me, you know? I don't even want to get in hot topic yet, but it's just going to go that way tonight.
I'm sorry.
I do have another caller that I want to bring in, 2434. It's the last 4 digits of your number. You are live on Curves and 3D Radio. How are you tonight?
Hi, this is Miss Gina. How are you?
Hey, Miss Gina. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I just wanted to jump in really quick because I have to say I understand what Aretha, I think that's her name.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Aretha is saying, but I have a small disagreement with that
mm-hmm.
because I don't mind staying true to your culture. Now, it's one thing if you're speaking slang and, you know, but I still believe in a person being who they are. Now, for those that, you know, live the hard knock life, and they're in the streets and they choose to be uneducated or unemployed or underemployed. But to make it universal by saying all our brothers got to dress a certain way and they got to talk
exactly.
a certain way. I'm like, auntie, I can go from the bedroom the boardroom to the bedroom, and I'm gonna still be Miss Gina, because I don't want to put my brothers in a place where they gotta be somebody they're not, so that they can get the approval of others. So I wouldn't use that universal, but I do get your point.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I do too. I can understand that, but to me, you know, I know some well dressed thugs. You understand what I'm saying? That you just really wouldn't want to really meet them in a dark place, but, baby, they got on Versace and Gucci and everything else. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think that it's a look or a certain persona, but I do believe that I should be able to be myself and not feel threatened by anybody, especially somebody that's supposed to protect and serve. But you know, that's going to be another, we're going to talk about that when we have our officer, Ms. Swan, on the line. But I really, since we already done went there, I'll go ahead and push my fashion to the back because I want to talk to you guys about being young black male in America. My first question to you guys, and especially you, Reggie, is a young
yes,
black
ma'am.
Male an endangered species?
No, he's not, ma'am. But that's how they looking at us like that. You know, like you say, appearance don't really mean nothing. And like I say, everybody on the phone had a great point. But my thing is, even if we safe and everything is good, how would you make money? You see what I'm saying? You can't go nowhere in corporate America looking thuggish. They ain't going to do it. You see what I'm saying? That's the thing that I learned. But
okay, when you say
like
looking
I'm a
thuggish,
okay.
But what? I mean, I guess in all, I'm
see,
just playing devil's advocate. All of us,
well,
can,
okay.
Any
see,
one of us can look thuggish. But
yeah,
does that
right.
mean that
and
I don't
still,
have a brain
still,
because I wear my
they,
pants a little bit saggy?
No. Nuh-uh, because they the smart. Matter of fact, there's a lot of people like that are just as smart as anybody else. But what I'm saying is, even though a person is intelligent and he, and his appearance is not good, that ain't going to be good to a corporate of America, because we as black people, a lot of black people don't own nothing to do. And when you're your own boss, you can do whatever you want to do. But the people that ain't got that kind of choice, then you're going to have to look inappropriate to make your money, because that's who's going to pay you, because ain't nobody going to give you nothing. You see what I'm saying? So if I go, when I go to work, if I'm unpresentable, I ain't going to get hired, number one, if I don't apply myself right. But if I do get hired, you got to maintain and stay neat and clean at all times. And if you get fired, then what? You see what I'm saying? So I think it's very important to have a good, neat appearance. But like you say, on your own time, you can do whatever you want to, you know. And just like with anything else, when you at your home or you on your free time, you do what you want to do. But when it's time to go to work, you go to work and you be in a good appearance. But what you're saying is great. What everybody's talking about on the phone is great. But my thing is, it boils down to, okay, how you gonna make your money? See, I can be slouchy all day long and then be myself. But at the end of the day, when it comes to making some money, what I'm gonna have to do? That's why I guess a lot of them think that's the only choice they have to do is be out in the streets, because as far as corporate America, it's hard for them to get a job. You see what I'm saying? So
let me bring it to this.
Okay.
Because I don't.
All right.
I'm an image person. I believe in
right.
Yes, I believe in the dress. I believe in being clean cut. I fuss at my students every day. Pull them pants off. Take the hoodie off. You know, those are just words that seem like I say in my sleep.
Yeah.
But because I have been around these young men and I have, you know, spent this time with them as their teacher, and I've had several of them to challenge me, you know, and they are very intelligent. I know some very intelligent thugs. I mean, because when you look at them, these are the kind of guys, when you look at them, you'll hold your purse and you'll lock your door. But I also know them to have to have that mentality or that look because of the neighborhoods that they live in and the lifestyle that they lead. But when they sit down and they're talking to you, they are the most mannerable and respectable people that you can ever speak with or hold a conversation with,
yes,
and
ma'am.
To teach you some things. This one I know for sure, I call him, his name is Ted, and he's the one that taught me about silver and gold coins, you know, the Canadian coins and the different, all the different coins. And to look at him, you would never think that he would have this type of knowledge or that he has a portfolio. And that's what the point that I'm making, that a person can look any kind of way. I know a lot of rich millionaires in network marketing have their own business, and when they get out of their 1999 Ford Expedition like I do, they don't look like they have money, but they do. I don't want us to get caught up in the appearance of the young black man, because that does not make him. Does it? Can it limit him?
Right.
Yes. There are some limitations.
Yeah.
But everybody can't put on an Armani suit and go sit up in somebody's on somebody's corporate job. And not to say that they can't do the job, but they don't have – I mean, I teach high school, and I'm also a plus-size model, but I don't go dress like a model every day to work.
Right,
I just don't.
Okay, let me ask you this, Auntie. What would you think? What I'm saying is, though, okay, so being a black male is already, like you say, it's already a strike against us as being a male. It's hard being a black male in these days and times. But now, we're gonna look at the big picture here. After everything is said and done, what do they need to do to make their money? If they dress a certain kind of way, it don't have nothing to do with. I'm just trying to see, you know, what you think about that.
I mean, I do understand what you guys are saying.
To
pull up their pants.
Okay,
they need to tuck their shirt, you know, take the gold out or whatever. They do need to do that. But what about the ones that are not? Are they just lost? Do we lose them? You know,
Nah, we don't never turn our back on them. Oh no.
You can't teach an old dog new tricks. So where do we meet them at right now? How do we as a race save, or you know, how do we challenge our policymakers to change the young black man's plight, where they have the mentality that, you know, I've been denied so long, I don't have equal opportunity, I don't have any rights, I don't have, you know, it's always the blame game. How do we change that
to get them
to the next level? That's my, I guess that's the point
I
that
think,
I'm making. Go ahead.
It's like, at that point, that's when a mentor comes in, someone that's relatable, someone who said, since you like to, you know, let's say you like the coins, like your student, okay, give him the information that maybe he can be, you know, someone who works in that type of field. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
if they have like a street mentality, but they're so good with money, maybe they ought to be going into banking or, you know, stock market.
Right.
You know, be legit. Turn your illegal or your non-sociable behavior, you know, into a legitimate business. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Well, but how can you do that when, you know, you guys are saying, oh, well, you ain't going, nobody's going to give them a chance if they don't pull their pants up or whatever. I'm saying.
Reggie, you're
a barber. You have your own barber shop, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Reggie?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So if a young man came in there and he had his pants down and, you know, maybe had on, you know, the gold chains and the T-shirts or whatever, he may not look like what you want in your establishment. Would you give him an opportunity?
Yeah, I'd give him an
opportunity. As a black business owner.
I would give him an opportunity as a black business owner. But what I would say is, you know, because, see, you talking about as him wanting to cut hair. Yeah, I tell him, I give him a chance, and then this is what, you know, I give him my rule, you know what I'm saying? And then if he goes by the rules, he's good, you know? I don't never turn my back on nobody, you know what I'm saying? And that's what we got to do. And then, like, whatever, everybody got some type of specialty. Everybody does, you know, some people. I know a guy that killed me in one time. He was just, he wasn't smiling or nothing. He got in my chair, and I asked him, mm-hmm. man, what's the problem? And he said, you know, man, mama's tripping. You know, I said, your mama's tripping. I said, well, you still live with your mama? He's like 25. He was like 27. I said, well, look, man, I tell you what, your mama probably going to keep on tripping if you don't move.
A.
So I asked him what kind of specialty does he got? Then he start naming what he can do. I said, well, get you some business cards and get hot. And then he started talking to more, and that's what he did. So, you know, I think, you know, everybody, whatever they doing other than on the street, if they got some kind of specialty other than, you know, because everybody got something special or what they be interested in doing. If there's something that they want to do, then they can go learn it and learn the skill or the trade.
And okay,
you know?
So they've gone and they learned the skill, they learned the trade, but they still look like a thug. My point is, just like I always, when I do my women's conference and I talk about the lady that was on, we in a night service, and a lady on her way to the club, and she was convicted to come into the church, but she had a club clothes on. Follow me now. So she walks in the church, and she got a club dress on, and the sisters immediately turn up their nose and frown and be like, nah, she wrong for that? Why was she? Instead of loving and embracing her and showing her that we, what would Jesus do, you know, and say,
yeah,
she may not, the skirt length may not drop that night. I need to be praying with this sister, laboring with this sister, tarrying with this sister, you know, till the conviction comes. Because if thugging is what I know, that's what I know.
And that's
I don't know the corporate boardroom
life.
I don't know the corporate boardroom style. I know I like my pants to fit like this. I like my shirts to fit a certain way. That is what they know. Now, that's what I'm saying. If you serious, or if a white man, black man, Indian man, hey, whatever, if you serious about helping somebody get to the next level, then you're going to accept them and meet them where they're at. And then you're going to be that example for them to change.
Right, right.
That's where we have to be at. But if we constantly condemning and looking at them as if they are the least, or but not even the least, as if they're the beneath, trust me, somebody knows when you're for them or against them. Somebody knows when you are, you know, willing to help them. I mean, if my mentor, when I first got into sales, which was an older white man in insurance, had he listened to the majority, if he would have listened to the majority of them saying that, that I'm a black woman and I'm never going to do well in this business. But he didn't listen to the masses. And, I mean, I showed up there clean, crispy every day. But then I ended up with a $1.2 million book of business in that same business because somebody believed in me and saw something in me and took me under his wing, and he tutored me and he taught me. But to everybody else, I was a nothing and nobody, and I didn't even deserve that job. That job should have went to a white man with a family and that, you know, could, you know, do the job better than me.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? To, as in the end, on that same job, they had me, go out there and renew. I mean, get new business, and we'll let Bobby renew your account. So I was new to the game, didn't realize what was going on. So Bobby would go in there, he would renew my account, and then I would have to split my account with Bobby instead of me going and renewing my own account. But see, they were still trying to give it to somebody else. You see what I'm saying?
I see.
So
I'm saying
to you guys that, they do have to pull up their pants. Yes, they do have to look presentable. Yes, they do have to take personal responsibilities for their action. But where is the belief that they will be able to do that if somebody don't ever give them an opportunity to do it?
Yeah, that's right. You got to give them a chance.
Another side of that is, do they want to change? I mean, some people
Some of them do want to change, but some of them are never given the opportunity. That's the point that I'm making.
Right.
They're never given the opportunity to know better.
I'm listening to a show, but when Mama come home, you can read it to her.
I'm gonna put you on. Gina, I'm gonna put you on back on head. Okay, so that's the point that I'm making. That, you know, somebody has to at some point give these young men an opportunity. I look at my cousin, and I look at a couple of my friends that are single mothers. And they working 12 hours, 14 hours, 16 hours a day sometimes to make ends meet. So sometimes, you know, even though they're trying to instill in the young men what they can and cannot do and what they should and should not be doing, because they're not always ever present in the household because they're trying to keep food on the table and a roof over their head, society can creep in. And they can take these young men. But I can remember when we were growing up and my mom was at work, my grandmother was always there. She was ever present. But if she wasn't, Miss McGriff was the neighbor to the left, or Miss Gordon, the neighbor to the right. You understand what I'm saying? They helped raise us. And if they saw us doing something we had no business doing, they took care of us themselves.
In trouble.
We don't have that because, see, today's society, say something to little Tommy Mac if you want to.
You got to fuss with them. You got to fuss with the parents. And, see, that's the thing.
So, you know.
Yep.
I see it every day.
It's like there's no winning and there's no losing. It's like both sides are struggling, but we're trying to get to the same destination. But we don't know that we're pulling against one another, and we could have been across the finish line a long time ago.
Yep.
I look at I'm going to bring Gina in. I look at the young baby. Child, don't tell me. I got the baby's name. What's your baby name that's there, Gina? Neville. Miss Gina.
His name is Noble.
Noble. How old is Noble?
Six.
Noble is 6. And he's mm-hmm. in a household with 2 strong black women.
Mm-hmm.
And at no point can you ever see him going no other way but the straight and narrow.
That's
does
right.
Noble mess up? Noble does mess up.
Oh,
Noble
yeah.
get in trouble. No, he going to get fussed mm-hmm. at some point in a day.
Mm-hmm.
But
right
because
through.
He is being he's being reared by loving women, loving family members. Like my nephews, I mean, I can't say a harsh word about them because they're so mannerable. They're so respectful. But now I have, because when I was teaching at Lakeland Senior, I saw how they act when they was around their friends, which is totally different
mm-hmm.
than the way
mm-hmm.
that they act in front of us. Because there's this fit-in thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they want to fit in. Yep.
They want to be popular. So they may do some unpopular things. Such case in point, one of the young men was trying to hang out with these things. So somebody challenged him to go into somewhere and steal something. And he went in and he did it. And he didn't have to because he had way more than enough money in his pocket to cover it.
Mm.
But to fit in
and they would
and to
tell
be okay.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And they would tell you, because I talk to kids on a weekly basis that get suspended from school. When you ask them, why did they do something? When
they
know,
know,
when I ask them, you know, could there have been any other way around it? Yes, ma'am. Well, why did you do it? Because I didn't want to look like no punk.
That's it.
Yeah, there you go.
They didn't want to look weak. They didn't want to be laughed at. They didn't want to be the next thing that hit social media. So they put up a front when they're at school, and when you talk to them one-on-one, they know. They know. There is no
excuse. No, let me make it even crystal clear.
Unheard.
They know right from wrong. They do know right from wrong.
Yeah, it is.
Right. Exactly.
But they're more afraid of being disliked by a peer than they are afraid of their parents. See, when I was growing up, my mother
you seen it?
Always
yeah, we was
said,
afraid of our parents.
It's a fine line between fear and respect. You're either going to fear me or respect me, one or the other.
Yeah,
so I ain't going to have to go
right.
home
see,
and deal with
thing.
Peggy Earl. I was scared of Peggy
you
Earl.
Better
I ain't care what them children did of me.
You better believe it.
It's a difference.
Amen.
Hey,
and
what
these
about
parents
you
are wanting to be their children's
one.
Friends. I ain't no friend with no little 12-year-old. You're going
to
sit down and shut up and do what I
can't
tell you
nobody,
to do.
But exactly.
No.
I ain't hanging out
and
with
and
my
that's
son.
What
no
I mean that you, and it is something that you teach them. Today when I picked Noble up from aftercare, I wouldn't even walk out the door. He walked out the door, and the door closed. I purposely stayed on the inside, and I
waited
said,
on
you
him.
Hold the door open. And when he opened up the door, I said, open the wide. Then we got to my car. I gave him the key, and I taught him how to put the key in and which way to turn it out and open the door and let me sit in. And I did the same thing when we got home. I waited until he got out. So, and then I let him put the key in the door. So those little things we instill in them, and the more they practice it and it becomes repetitive, the more they'll do it. When it becomes out of sight, out of mind, then they fall prey to the other things that lead them astray. They didn't just walk astray. It leads them astray.
But not only that, but you require him to do that. And you know what I hear today? Miss Mother said, he ain't got to take the chair down. I got it. I say, no, ma'am, put the chair back up there. You put it back up there and let him take it down for you. They don't even require the young men
yeah,
to be young
see?
Men.
Well, you know what, too? Being a barber, when they come to the barbershop, women will come in, and these dudes, these little boys, they're like 9, 10. They be have a mad face, and they just be looking like, you know, I don't want no haircut. So the lady will come over, and the mother come to me and say, Reggie, you know, I don't think he want a haircut. And I say, ma'am, do you want your son to have a haircut?
Yeah, I said, well, look, I say, son, man, hey, bro, come and get in the chair and get your hair cut. Then when he get in the chair, and that's why I'd be like, look, man, you want to run around like this, won't you clean your hair up? You don't want to be acting like that. Set up straight and be a man. You're going to have to take care of mama when your dad ain't around, you know, stuff like that. And then they straighten up, and she'd be like, well, what did you say to him? I said, ma'am, I just don't negotiate with kids when I'm in my house, so I don't negotiate. It's too many choices. Y'all remember the popsicle box? Whatever came out the color, that's the color you get. Now, today, you have to go get 3 or 4 boxes to please all these kids. It don't make sense. So that's some of the problem, too.
And that's the, you know, that's my whole thing.
Right.
All of these children
have an entitled mentality.
That's what's wrong with our children. They have the millennials, they have this entitled mentality. How can you argue with somebody that don't feel like they're not wrong? They're right all the time.
And then you know, here's another thing: arguing with an adult. Now, kids are in grown-up business. So, in other words, even if I did something when I was little, even if I was right, if I didn't do it and I got the blame or whatever, I talk back to that grown-up, I might as well did it, because guess what? I done messed up. You don't talk back to grown-ups. So whether
that's
you did
right.
it or not, you still getting a butt-whooping. See, this is the thing. And these kids, they, you know, if you correct the kid, they going to, you don't talk to my kid like that. You know, I ain't trying to let nobody just do anything with my kid neither. But, auntie, if you see my 9-year-old son or my 10-year-old daughter doing what they ain't supposed to do, then you got my permission to get on them, period. It's just, you know what I'm saying? That's just how I am. I ain't got time for be disrespecting grown folks, you know.
And, you know,
the other
it's
day,
just
my
not
daughter,
also. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, well, the other day my daughter was like, well, Dad, you use my computer a lot, you know? And I said, okay, it is your computer. And I do. I said, I'll tell you what, I won't use your computer no more. And then I said, well, what are you going to do when your battery dies? She said, I'm going to plug it up. I said, no, you're not. She said, what'd you? I said, then that's my electric. Then she understands, you know.
I know that's
funny.
We're not going to do it. Well, really, you know, I was a DJ, too, for teenagers. And it was like 200 teenagers I DJed for. And, of course, you know, you got your negative people. The parents is like, man, Reggie, I don't know how you going to handle all them kids right there. I said, okay. Because they knew I didn't have no problem with them kids. Them jokers came down there, they had fun, and I didn't have no problem because I know they knew what I expected out of them. And then if you did something you weren't supposed to do, you won't get to come back for 2 or 3 weeks. You see what I'm saying? I didn't have no problem with them kids. Them kids respect me. And today, they called me right today. They like 21, 22. They said, Reggie, you remember when you used that? Yeah. I said, yeah, they need that now. But I'm not down there no more. I live here now. So, but, yeah, you know, and sometimes kids just want attention, you know?
That's it.
But I told you, you want some attention, you'll get it from me. You get all the attention you want. But, you know.
Reggie, don't be hitting the people's children. My thing, Gina, you were going to say something before I move on.
Oh, yes. I wanted to share really, really quick how it's just not in the black community. My coworker, who happens to be Caucasian, has a eighth grader, boy, and every morning she would call him before he left for school to make sure he let the garage down and all that other stuff. And I guess she called him a couple of times, so by the time he text her back and she said, I've been calling you, and he said, and I did not answer, so I don't understand why you keep calling. I say he still got all his teeth.
Oh my gosh.
I say he still got all his teeth. Did he make it? I would have been like, I have a family emergency. I'm gonna need to be gone for the rest of the day. Cause I'm gonna have to take him to the doctor. What's gonna go down when I get? So it's just not in the black culture or black community.
Wait a minute. First of all, it's worse. It's worse.
Yes.
What I hear, I say, ma'am. Girl, y'all know I go to acting real crazy because they be screaming and hollering at their mama. I say, excuse me. Who are you talking to, girl? And the whole room gets dark. You hear me? Because I don't play. I said, who is you talking to? It's my mom. This bee is, she gets on my nerves, girl. Oh, my gosh. I thought I was going to go to jail. I thought I was gone. Because, see, I couldn't call Peggy Earl no B. You hear me? I just couldn't.
What?
I'm 46 years old, and would dare not to, you hear me?
What?
Because what? And I'm 46. Who are you talking? See, I say, ma'am, I say, let me hold the phone, baby. Can he go home with me just for a half a day? I promise you, you'll get a different baby back. I promise. I promise.
Yep.
Because I don't tolerate that. And it ain't no you right, and they are even more thuggish than the black ones now. Because they all want to go for bad. But my love and my attention is for our young black men. And when we think about I see groups of women, I see even immigrants making strides socially and economically just in the last couple of years. I can see more women are having businesses, more immigrants. They own everything. But our young black men, it's not so. It seems that they are more likely to be incarcerated, unemployed, underemployed, or dead, even more so than the 50s or the 60s. Why?
Yes, ma'am, you're correct.
Why?
It's still like the get in, fit in mentality. You know, nobody,
you
know, I think, you know, and another
they...
thing is it's a competition. You know, I think it's competition, too. You know what I'm saying? I think it's a competition, too. You know, black people want to compete with each other. And we don't have to, instead of working together.
See, I've never understood that mentality. I mean, I tell them every year, if it was up to me, students were all high school, junior high school, or what they call middle school now, and elementary, they would all wear uniforms, all of them.
That's
all
what I was going to
have
say
to
you about
shirt,
that, right. Everybody
same skirt,
you
same pants,
same
shoes,
everybody. Same everything. Yeah, because that makes a difference. Because I went to a Catholic school, so that's what I had to do, and I used to tell my mama, I used to say, dang, I hate wearing these suits every day, right? But you know what? We didn't have to worry about nothing. We knew that's what you're going to wear. Only difference is you're going to have on short sleeve shirt, short or long sleeve and pants. But when I got out, when I got in my freshman year, I was like, man, well, I'm glad I ain't got to wear them uniform. But then I ran out of clothes. And then you're going to have other kids got better clothes than you. So now they can laugh at you. See? You know, you got this kid got on Jordan.
To me, this is where that inferiority complex come in at.
It is.
So if I look like a thug and I act like a thug because I can't afford to dress like Billy over here or Bobby.
There you go.
So I'm going to dress like this. So dressing like this comes with a certain
with the
persona that I have to, you know, portray in order to dress the way that I dress, and it's not genuine.
Exactly.
That's
so
why
uniform.
I'm saying that we have
uniform
to,
should be mandatory. You're right.
We have to start investing in our children, and I'm not saying because see, to me, if you make a D&F, why you got $100 and $200 tennis shoes, and you made D&F?
You don't get that. You don't get that. You don't get that. You got to earn that. Y'all remember the Chuck Taylors back in the day?
Yes,
y'all remember
honey.
Them Converse?
They popular
that
now.
Out now. Y'all remember this?
They popular
but check
now.
This out.
What
look, my dad took me and my brother to the store, and he said, we getting some Converse. You know, we getting some Chuck Taylor. So when we went to go get the shoes, when they pulled the shoes down out of the box, them shoes looked, they were the imitation. They wasn't the ones that looked like the real one. And so I tore my face up. I said, Daddy, I don't want them shoes. My daddy gave me a whooping and put them shoes back, and I didn't have no shoes. Now, my brother, he had his shoes, and I was like, man, I want them shoes now because they start looking good now.
Exactly. But that's that
so,
entitled
you know.
Mentality that we have. Let me ask y'all this right here. The young black male, unemployed, unskilled, and unproductive. How do we change that?
We just, it's
going
to take some
and
time.
That, like you said, I'm talking about black men, black young men, but I know all of them, the Europeans, the Indians, the blacks, the Hispanics, none of them want to apply at McDonald's and work. When I was in high school, I was so ready to get a job at McDonald's just to get some freedom. But now...
You already know, just the freedom.
They won't go to... When you go to... I go to McDonald's and get a sweet tea or a coffee every day. When you go through the line at McDonald's in the evening time, you know how used to you would see the little high school kids working at the McDonald's? Now you see people 50 and 60 working at McDonald's.
Yep, because they're not going to do it. And
the young ones don't
want to
go and work those type of jobs. They just don't want to work those type of jobs.
No, they want a corporate
American
job.
But yet they don't have
right
any skills to work
like
anywhere else.
Exactly. You know.
But that's
but,
also partially
for the
ones that don't apply themselves in school, so they don't even know how to go and properly fill out a job application. And you know, there's an old saying,
exactly.
You can teach a man to, what's the saying about the
fish?
Fish. You can teach
a man how to, teach him how to fish. You can teach him how to eat.
Wait a minute, wait a minute.
You got to learn him how to fish so he can eat.
Every day, yeah. So he can eat every day. So you can.
But if,
you can
if they
the
don't want to learn a trade, if they don't, you know, with change, one thing I've learned, you can't change people. But you can influence people. People have to want to change. But influence, we know how powerful influence can be on the negative as well as the positive. You can always influence, but it's always to the person to want change. If they don't see it, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And the book, sometimes as, even as a kid, and I wanted to do something, and my mom would say no. And I can even bring it back to a couple of months ago when I was in pageant, and, you know, my mom was like, why you want to do this? It's always rigged. And she was always saying, you know, she was just being very negative that day. And I said, Mom, look, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't gamble. Pageantry is my drug of choice. It's my hobby. You know, just like if I was a artist or if I knit or whatever, I would still have to go out and buy that stuff to make my hobby work. So sometimes parents don't, you know, what they see is not for you, or you, they feel like you're wasting your time. Where you say, oh, you, I don't want you to play that instrument because that instrument ain't going to get you nothing. Why are you always trying to go sing? And that ain't going to get you nowhere. You need to go get a college education. Okay, a college education, look at, I know a whole lot of people with master's degrees that are working for barely a little over minimum wage.
Exactly. You got to do what you want. You got to, you know, you got to, I always told my kids, I ain't going to tell you what you do what you want to do, what you like to do. You know, you don't limit them to what they want to do, but, you know, some parents do that.
But because it has to be purposeful for you in order you to be. Most people that I'm learning now that are living their dreams and doing what they will want to do maybe don't have a college degree. I can talk about it because I can talk about Omega LaShonda, you know, to be in the debt that I am to my college degree, and I teach high school.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit much.
Hello.
It's a little bit much. So if my child wanted to sing and she was going to give all of her all to singing, then I would be okay with that at this point because now I understand purpose. I understand walking in your purpose to be successful. When
you
I was
do
growing
what you love
up, we
to
talk,
do.
Right. We were taught, go to school, get a good job. That's what my parents taught us because that's what
college.
They knew. Go to school. See, white people, at the same time,
that's
the girls that were my European counterparts, they were taught, go to school, find your rich man and get married.
Get your own business. Mm-hmm.
That's what they was being taught. Now, what can we teach our young black men to help them be successful if they got football
they need
in their eye, basketball in their eye, baseball, not even baseball, but basketball or football, because that's what they feel like. How many of our young black men really do make it out of the ghetto through football or basketball?
Well, if they, you know, if they really want to be a part of that type of arena, you know, football, basketball, whatever, let them know that there's other sides to it. There's sports medicine. You're still being a part of football. They need to know that there's not just the field play. There's the off-field play. There's sports medicine. You know, they need to know those things because all they know is quarterback, running back, you know, defense, offense, but do they really know what's going on off the field?
And I think that's where those mentors and those teachers like myself come in at, because I see it. I see how the coaches push those that are really have the ability to do well on the field. And sometimes, you know, you'd rather have them in the weight room instead of the tutoring room. I'd rather for you to be in the weight room so that you can do well on that field or on that court than to have you sitting in a tutoring room to get the education that you need. So if something happens to you, and 9 times out of 10, that's what happened. There's an injury.
Yeah, and you can't – exactly. Then you can't take that knowledge from you, and then you don't have the knowledge that you need to do whatever
else. Now you don't
have
the knowledge because you were so – you allowed them to let you focus more – on your physical abilities opposed to your mental abilities.
Your mental ability.
There's no
exactly.
balance there. And that's why I feel like we're losing so many of our young black men, whereas that you have white athletes that have the 3.5s, the 3.7s, the 4.0s, you have maybe one black one that has that kind of GPA.
Yeah. Mm. Yep.
Because what
exactly.
they're going to do, the parents are going to let, the white parents are going to let them go on the field. They're going to let them, you know, do the football, do the baseball, do the basketball, whatever it is. Most of it is football and baseball at my school. But then on the weekends, they're at Sylvan Learning Center or somewhere else for 3 or 4 hours Saturday morning getting that extra tutoring that they need because their parents can't afford it.
Right.
But what about the parents
you know
that
what,
can't afford the tutoring?
Can't afford it. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I think, though? I think that this is a good thing.
You
is
killing
is
me with
thing.
That.
It's not,
stop it.
Okay.
This auntie.
Okay,
what you call me auntie?
I got to get you to. Can you call you auntie? Hey, all right, then. Listen. I think that when they get out of high school, I think they should think about the military. 2 or 3 years. That's one thing now, you know, that's very positive that will change because you ain't got no choice but to change when you join the military. You will grow up. You're going to be a man because you're going to do everything by yourself and you're going to learn at the same time and you're going to make money and you're going to see different types of people all over the world. So
you can
I think that's
if you don't have
the
type of parents that's telling that teaches you that you ain't finna listen to one of my,
yeah.
ain't nobody finna tell me what to do. But the majority of the parents,
the children
of today, have that mentality that they ain't going to sit around and listen to nobody in no military long enough to even get through basic training.
Well, you know, basic training, but you know what? But once you get in basic training, it happens so fast and long at the same time, you'll be already done and disciplined that quick.
I know, but a lot of them are not signing up. I can tell you this because I deal with it every day. A lot of them are not signing up for the military at all. Now, you see that because you're a little bit older.
To talk to them.
Right. You see that because you're a little
right.
bit older and you can see how the military, because you were in the military, so you can see how that could be
right.
beneficial to a child. But a lot of them have that
mm-hmm.
mentality that, oh, no, they won't even do ROTC because they don't want nobody telling them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You understand the point that I'm making?
You know, and
so they're not going to join
right.
because they don't want nobody telling them what to do.
Well, you know, the bottom line is, you know, like we talking, like we get into groups of, if we sitting like a mentor talking to a bunch of kids at one time, telling black guys, black kids, telling them, look, you're going to have to do something. And you're going to have to figure it out, you know, and help them do that.
to what they need, because there's three. I just be blunt with them. There's three things that's going to happen if you don't want to do, you know, if you want to go the bad route. Three things is going to happen, and it's just reality. You know, you can't beat around the bush. You can't candy coat it because it's the truth. Yeah. Now you got some kids now. They manipulate the system. You know, some people when you're trying to, if like for instance, if you say, well, they was brought up in a broken home. This happened to them. This happened to them. Which it happened to other people too. Well, if a kid hears that, they'll just say, well, shoot, Auntie and Reggie said, shoot, we was in a broken home, so we ain't gonna do nothing just because, you know, some kids do that. So you know, I've seen it happen. So I mean, this is a very deep subject, a deep topic, and it's gonna take a lot of work.
It can be done. A whole lot of work, and that's why I want to just challenge everybody to get a part of a, if it's big sister, little sister,
if we just
big
reach
brother,
out to
little,
one person. Exactly.
Yeah, just try to reach that one person. I mentor a whole group of young ladies that have been rescued from human trafficking, and I work with those young ladies, and I spend time with them, and I coach them, and I talk to them about self-esteem and self-confidence and etiquettes, and I do those kind of things with them. But every last one of us got to find a way to reach a younger person, to reach that teenager or that middle school, you know, child, because you don't know how you influence and you help those children. Because when they come to me and they say, Auntie, I want to be like you, that is, I mean, more so than any other thing that anybody has ever told me. When I have a student that I impacted their life and they say, Auntie, I want to be like you when I grow up, that's the best thing that somebody's ever said to me.
Right.
Because
yeah,
I want them
that's
to.
Great.
And my response is always, don't be like me, baby. Be better than me. Be better than me.
Right.
So that lets
right.
them know that they can. You know, everything that I have and everything that I'm doing, you can do it, and you can do it greater, and you can do it better. But you got to be willing
right.
to do it. You know, I have so many young ladies that are my friends that always try to start these mentoring groups with young boys. It's one thing, yes, we do, but all boys pretty much have a mother that they, you know, listen to or they're disciplined by, because there are not a whole lot of fathers in the household. It's the men that I believe
yeah.
that need to do these type of programs. Not let Steve Harvey
You're
only
right.
do it once a year with a group. It needs to be some type of in the church, in the community center, where we all busy. But I always find time
right.
to get back to the young ladies. We have to do that.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, I mean, I don't want to deal with kids, really. I go to work, I see kids all day, every day. So literally, I really don't want to have to deal with children outside of work, but I do, because I know all of them need something extra.
Right. Right.
You know, and this
know,
is what I
know,
want to
I
see.
To...
Men in our community, it's like being in, I mean, the area that you in, you know, going to the black barbershops, meeting up together, you know, asking the young ladies that bring their sons in there to get their haircut. They spend a business with you. They spend money with you. Week after
yeah,
week after
exactly.
week after week. What are we giving back to these children?
Right.
You know, have a free tutoring thing where they come in and they get to, you know, watch you do a haircut or put a clipper in their hand and sit somebody in front of them and teach them how to cut hair. It's something that we could be doing. I want to see our black men doing with our young men. Have a workshop where you teach hygiene that's free. They're coming into the shop, you know. And maybe if you Regis do it this week and Fresh Cuts do it the next week and somebody else black owned do it the next week, but then it know what it's doing, it's keeping them boys out the streets.
You're
and
right.
it's keeping
you
them
know,
in the face
I,
of entrepreneurs.
It does. And then they like
yeah,
to
because
hang
then,
out
they can be cutting
shop.
Hair and having their friends come over on the weekend and charge them like $10. If they got quite a bit of friends, they could probably make about $100.
But not only that, have the
you
friend
know,
that had a friend that worked at the bank come in and teach them how to invest in the money and open up their own bank accounts.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Have the
yeah.
accountant come in and teach them how to to invest this money and how to start a portfolio when you're 13 years old. We have to teach them, not the parents, because the parents
yes, ma'am.
May not. If I'm a single mother working 12 hours a day, when do I have time
you
to give
time
that
to
my
it,
child?
No.
And that's probably why you miss a lot of things that their kid is doing, because you're not there. You didn't. You be like, I bought some shoes. Yeah, I got these shoes. You don't even know that those shoes were something that he snatched up. But you're not there long enough. So you probably did say, oh yeah, I did get you those shoes a few months back. You know, but you know you didn't. But you just don't want to say nothing. You got the suspicion, but you don't have the proof. But yeah, I agree. You know, get a clipper in their hand or whatever they're good at. Like my passion is cooking. So if I see someone like in a activity center, you know, young ladies, you know, they're over there in the home ec area and they're cooking, I want to mentor that, because that young lady, she might be the next Paula Deen, you know, or whoever.
Yeah.
So she might.
You don't ever know who you're cultivating.
She might be the next. In the kitchen with Sister Big Bone. You understand what
that's
I'm saying?
That's right. She can chicken. Yes, that's right. She can. But you never know. Is that what they're interested in? You just keep on pouring into them. Just like my daughter, she loves photography. Even though she's an adult, I still pour into her because I want her to know that I'm planting a seed in her. I believe in what she's doing. And ever since she found out that I really, really, truly care and that I wasn't just saying it because I'm her mama, she has gotten so many clients. She has got more confidence. She's talking more about her business. She's passing out business cards. When we go out places, she got her business cards. She's speaking out more because I took an interest, and she finally felt that it was a genuine interest, not just mama saying, oh, you a good little photographer, but she believed it because it is true.
And that's what I mean. Sometimes, you know, they say familiarity breeds contempt. So I may not receive it from my mom. I may not, you know, mom, don't be doing all these pageants. Man. You're just wasting your money, blah, 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 blah. If I'm with somebody else that's mentoring me and coaching me and I listen to their voice, and not that I don't hear my mom's voice, don't get it twisted now, because I confide in my mom about everything, but I'm saying that outside influence can sometimes be a lot stronger. And that's why we
Let me
have
ask you this
to
question.
Have these type of mentoring programs. Yes, sir.
Do they got any juvenile detention centers there? Because I used to cut hair for juvenile detention for the little young teenagers, and I used to go every 2 weeks and cut their hair. It was like 100 of them. And I believe, man, them boys was talented and everything, but I was just saying, barbers around Florida are in everybody's area. If a barber can go reach out to them and see, you know, they can go cut their hair or something and talk to them, you know, that helps too, you know. I know it's a certain type of job to get in, you know, but I did that as a barber too.
That's a good idea.
That was really good.
That's
know what I'm saying?
Idea.
Because I'm telling you, them kids are so talented. One dude, I get in there, and one dude, because they had shirt phases, they start with white, red, blue. Every time they get a different shirt, they move up to a new phase. But if they do something they ain't supposed to do, they lose their color, and they go back there. And I tell them, when I come in there, if you got on a blue shirt and you had on, you could not come back and yours is red because you got dropped in, you don't get no haircut. But when I did it, they get in the chair, and I talk to them. I listen to them and stuff, and I say, man, what you doing in here? And the guy said, the little boy said, well, I was stealing pit bulls. He just liked stealing pit bulls. And I said, man, you know, why would you want to do it? I said, look, you can go, they giving away pit bulls. I said, you can go buy a male and a female and breed them and make money off of them, have puppies. Next thing you know, he had his pen and paper. And he was, you know. So they all just got to have, like you said, they just got to have somebody to look to, a mentor, and make sure they won't be behind bars, you know, so they can get out and do what they need to do. But I love doing that. I enjoy that. So that's a good thing for people to do, too. A barber, you know, giving back to the community, to these young black guys. Because, of course, you know, all of them was black.
And I'm saying start create a curriculum or create a something that, you know, could be a 6 weeks or 8 week program. And at the end of the program, they get to graduate and, you know, find you some sponsors to get you to donate you some clippers and, you know, to to sponsor some Clippers, and they get to get, you know, instead of a trophy, they get a Clipper set. You know what I'm saying? It has to be something that we can do to give back to these children to save our youth. We got to be able to save them. But we are well past the hour, you guys. It's 10:09, and I'm still working very hard to keep this show to an hour. I know we can go on and on and on because we haven't even touched, you know, is the problem social or economic? Is the black male of the day, is that a social problem or economic problem? Who do we blame for the denial of equal opportunity? How can our policymakers challenge to change the young black man's plight? We got so many other things that we can talk about, and every week I end up saying, I'm going to go back, but this is something that we have to discuss all year long, and we have to find ways, because my heart goes out to the young black men of today's society. I want to see some change for them. I mean, Barack Obama has done due diligence. He has been the president. He's getting out of here. And now, to me, we're right back to 1920. You understand what I'm saying? Where the blacks didn't have a voice.
Yeah.
And we got to figure out how to have a voice. I want to be able to sit in. I mean, if one of them came up to me, and not even a black, a European, white, Caucasian came up to me, Ms. Mother said, why black people don't like to be called African-American? You know, these are the kind of conversations that they're wanting to have, and I'm ready to have them.
Yeah.
But I want my black young men to be asking me these kind of questions. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
I want to have these type of conversations with them, you know, without it being a Farrakhan or, you know, militant black power kind of thing. I want to have intellectual conversation with young black men. And I want some men having these type of conversations with them, not sporadically. It needs to become an epidemic for y'all black men to be having these type of conversations with our young black
men. Yes, ma'am. Man, this was a nice topic.
You need to be a black male summit.
That's it.
It's a nice topic, and you're absolutely right. And now when I get off this phone tomorrow, when black brothers coming in there, believe me, we gonna bring it up.
and they doing all the bragging. Oh, I got this, I got that. But what you giving back, baby? Sir, I hear you. And I love that you're doing well. But what you giving back to the community? I need you to invest. Buy a Clipper set, and we're going to start boxing up these Clipper sets. I mean, you should have it where, you know, you put a thing on your wall and, you know, like a meter, and say, this is how many Clipper sets I want to give away this year to some young black brothers that are coming in, doing volunteer work, getting community service hours. You know, when they make an A, and if they make 7 A's in a 9 weeks or whatever, I'm going to give them, start donating these. I'm giving these young black boys tool in their hand to help them be successful. That's what we got to be doing.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what we got to do.
Because if you're putting that tool in their hand to make them be successful, they're going to pull up their pants. They're going to stop the
pants. Because it's real now. They can touch it.
Because it's real.
It's real.
I can be a business owner. Mr. Reggie taught me that I can run my own business. And you gave them the opportunity when you put the tool. You're not talking about it, but you're being about it. Every time one of them brothers coming in, they talk about what they got and what they're doing. All right, sir, I need you to go ahead on and give me this $29.99, $39.99, and we're going to put some Clipper sets. And I want this Clipper set to go from floor to ceiling with Clipper sets. Floor to ceiling. How many you can donate?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
there
what I'm
going to
do
is I'm going to institute
a curriculum and a program where I'm going to start blessing some young brothers in this community with some Clippers to teach them a trade. So when they go to college
there
and they need extra money, they can cut hair on the side. They ain't got to go work at McDonald's because they can be a young entrepreneur.
Yes, ma'am.
Then you bring in the banker,
then you bring in the accountant, then you bring in the attorney, and you start teaching them other skills and let them. Because see, number one, they don't know how to find themselves. They've been lost for so long. The parents lost, they lost.
Yes, ma'am.
Generation after generation being lost. Somebody got to help them find themselves. But this is Auntie on Curves and 3D Radio. I'm so sorry, guys. You could have pressed one and got in on the show. I always forget to do that. I truly love you guys, and if you want to come in, you have to dial 347. If you're listening to us by internet, 347-945-5886, 347-945-5886 to get in on the conversation, or if you just want to say something, just press 1, because I will stay on a couple of more minutes just to give you an opportunity to get in on this conversation, because we want to make sure that we give our young black men every opportunity to be successful. Every opportunity.
Yes.
We can't
wait
on the
Mr. Reggie, make sure you reach out to me, because I wanna, you know, send you $30 towards the Clippers.
Okay, are you on Facebook?
Yes.
Okay, what's your name? And I send you a request.
Aretha, Aretha.
Mm-hmm.
And the last name is Cowden,
mm-hmm.
Cowden.
Okay, Cowden. Okay, Aretha Cowden.
Uh-huh.
Okay, all right.
And Aretha has her own Blog Talk Radio show as well. Reggie, I would love for you guys to hook up, and you can go on her show. And Aretha, MC Reggie Fresh Morning Show has his own show too.
Yes, he does.
And y'all need to link up.
Well, all right. Look at us. Look at all of our radio personalities coming together.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up.
Yeah, and Aretha is getting ready to launch her very own cooking show. She's actually having her debut party on Sunday, and it's In the Kitchen with Sister Big Bone on the American Food Network. So she is doing her own lovely show.
TV. That's what's up. But look, I need me a lemon pie. A lemon cake. Can you make me a lemon cake?
You want a lemon cake? All right, I'll ship it to you.
That's what. I need me a lemon cake. Yes, man. I don't care how much it costs. I need me a lemon cake. Cause my
it'd be nice for about two weeks.
Okay.
I love it. That's how we do business, baby. That's how we do it. I am so excited.
Yes, but I just want to make sure that I do invest in our youth, even if though they're in Florida, because I want to make sure that my dollars are going towards something positive, and I want to make sure that send it your way. So, Mr. Reggie, I will be sending you that for a set of Clippers.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
As soon as you get that program up and running, you let us know, because we're going to be one of the first ones to invest in what you're doing.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then I want to take it. I want to set up a tour where we're just going around to different areas, and you know, talking to young men in different areas, talking to other barbers in different areas.
Yeah, we can do that.
And doing the same thing, you know. But we got to have like a little tour. I can throw a little fashion show on the end of it, and you know, just do it.
Yeah,
where
we can do
really
that.
Empowering.
And
our
you know,
youth.
I'm a DJ. You can play a little music too.
There you go.
All right. Well, you know, I do a little cooking, so you know, I can do the catering.
That's how we do it on Curves and 3D Radio, guys, in the Curvy Studios every Thursday night at 9 p.m. with Auntie and Hot Topics. I know we didn't get our fashion in, but I'm going to go ahead and just break that down real quick for you, real fast, because I need y'all to be hot, and I like to be the woman of my word. There are five trends that are in and hot for 2017, and then there are five things that you just need to get rid of completely in 2017. So take notes, listen well. The five trends that you need to get rid of in 2017 is corsets out. Let it go. Let the corsets go. They're gone. They have ran their course. Done. Skinny jeans with stretch. Let it go. No skinny jeans with stretch. It is something new coming in the jeaning trend. But skinny jeans with stretch, gone. Sweet romantic trend, that look real soft, feminine. Nope. Gone, done in 2017. They're moving to a more sharper, asymmetrical hemline, you know. So definitely get rid of the soft romantic look. Heels that are 4 to 5 inches or higher, Miss Aretha, you can let them know they're done.
Yeah.
It is
all
done.
Right, my sequin slippers is back in. They still hanging on.
Comfort. comfort and practicality is what is trending and hot right now. So anything that's a 4 or 5 inch heel or higher, done, let it go. And then the clean classic sneakers. Ladies, no more. No more just like, I love my white sneakers, but that is out. Embellished emojis or logos on your shoes is what's hot and what's popping right now. So corset, skinny jeans with stretch, sweet romantic trend, heels of 4 or 5 or more inches high, or clean classic sneakers, out. Done. For the 2017.
Okay.
Now let me tell you what's hot and popping. Make sure, Reggie, you hook your people up, your daughter, the women in your life and all that. Make sure you hook them up, because what's hot is stripes. Stripes are very popular. So much so that they say that they have 9 lives. You can put them pretty much with anything. They're like what the white T-shirt used to be. So stripes are what is hot, and it's going to be around for a minute. So anything with stripes. Sneakers are what they're, but they have to be, like I said, the ones that are embellished emojis or have a logo on them. They're very versatile. People are dressing them up or dressing them down. So you can't have your pair of nice sneakers or embellished sneakers in your wardrobe, even the sneakers with the heel. So that's really hot right now. Artistically inspired clothing, like paint, painted prints or patterns, with strong art references, are really like the color pants, like multiple colored, or even the African printed pants, stuff like that is really popular right now. So you want to make sure that anything that's artistically inspired, that you got some color in your wardrobe, because that's what's hot. Easy elegance. And this is a more of a athletic inspired look with the, you know, dressing up a pair of sweatpants, pairing it with a button-down top and a nice pair of mules, because that is the fifth one. So easy elegance, athletic-inspired pieces, and mules are really hot right now. Every fabrication, color, velvet, satin, embroidery, canvas, anything that's the toe end but the heel is out, comfort, low, high, whatever, but those mules are really back and popular. So striped sneakers, lady, embellished sneakers, artistically inspired, easy elegance, which is your athletic-inspired pieces, and your mules are the 5 things that are trending in 2017. So make sure you are in the know, because you heard it here on Curzon 3D Radio Show, baby. So you should be looking funky fresh and keeping it real crispy and cool. I love fashion, you guys. If you know me, you know I love fashion. And I'm excited. Reggie, I cannot thank you enough for sharing with us today. It's always good to hear it from a male's perspective. And I know you're saying clean it up, get that image up so you can make that money. Same thing, Miss Aretha, Plus Size Sexy Diva, blessed to have you with us. We're excited about what you got going on Sunday in beautiful Wichita, Kansas. Well, cold Wichita, Kansas. Debuting your show in the kitchen with Sister Big Bones. If you are in the Wichita area, please go out. Aretha, do you have the address to where it's going to be?
Yes, it's going to be held at Metro Appliances and More at 3545 North Hillside. And it's going to be from 3 until 6. We're going to eat and greet, meet and greet, and, you know, take pictures. And at 5 o'clock, we're going to sit down and watch the premiere debut of my show In the Kitchen with Sister Big Bones. And I'm just so excited about it. I thank every sponsor, every supporter, every prayer. I just think I'm just so thankful. I mean, it's getting closer and closer, and I'm just getting more and more excited. I'd like to thank you for hooking up the wardrobe, the fashion that I will be wearing at the debut. I'm just so excited that I'm going to be wearing a tutu, a tempty tutu. I'll be tempty tutu delicious. Yeah.
Woo-woo. I love it. I'm excited.
That's what's
now,
up.
How can, if we are in Florida or we're in Tennessee or we're anywhere else in the country, are we able to view it or no?
Yes, it is going to be live on YouTube. And I will be dropping that YouTube channel address in your box, Omega, so that you can spread the word.
Okay, so
I'm gonna
right.
drop it in your box.
Check you out. Okay, good, because
yes.
I want to be
okay,
able to.
Okay,
so, yeah.
Is this recorded? Is this yes. recorded call right here? Is this
recorded? Oh, yeah, this is a recorded,
oh, it is
call
recorded.
Right here. Yeah.
How can we listen to it again?
Okay, I'm going to give you the YouTube channel information. I'm pulling it up right now. It is, I'm going to put it in your inbox, Omega, right now, so you can pop it up. Mm-hmm. And share it, but it will be on YouTube. I'm just so excited about it.
Okay.
Okay, and
how'd you say about
it in?
Hearing it again?
It's American Food Network is the YouTube channel.
Okay.
Right, but that's going to be for Sunday. But Reggie,
but that's
oh, okay.
yeah, and you can also see some promo videos that I've done. I've done like 3 or 4 promo videos. They're about 3 to 4
okay.
minutes in length, so you can see what type of food I'm doing. I do down home cooking made easy.
Okay, then. All right.
So we'll definitely have
yeah,
that in the, and I'll have that on the running on my pages as well, and we will make sure that
and this link-
you two hook up. And then that's it. That's going to be Sunday. But if you, the replay of this show will be actually on my page as well. So, and you'll be able to hear all of what
okay,
she just said again. But the replay will be on my page. And, you can always go to the archives on Curzon 3D. If you go to Curzon 3D, you will be able to hear the archive show. You'll be able to hear this show and play it on
okay,
your show.
You're gonna,
play parts
you,
of it on your show.
Okay, so check this out. Is it going to be tomorrow or are you going to do it right now?
It's going to be, it happens immediately.
Oh, it does. Okay, then. All right. Cool. Well, hey, y'all have a nice day and a happy New Year to everybody.
Thank you. Happy New Year, and thank you for coming
thank
on.
Thank you, Reggie.
We'll have you on again. And I definitely want you
yes,
to hook up because you guys can benefit each other on each other's show. So I love y'all. Thank y'all for joining us in the Curvy Studios. Have a great evening.
You do the same.
All right.
Bye.
Here we go.
It's my time to rise. It's my time to shine. It's my time to live. It's my time to fly. It's my time. It's my time. I can see it. I can.
You have been listening to Curves in 3D Radio Show, brought to you tonight by Tempty Tutus. That's Tempty Tutus. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, Tempty Tutus. The tutus for the sassy, sultry, sexy, sophisticated, statuesque woman. Because we know that tutus are fun, flirty, and fashionable. Make it a great day. This is your host, Auntie. They do call me the illustrious, the bad, the bold, the beautiful. Thank you for joining us in the Curvy Studios, and we look forward to hearing and looking out for you on next Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yes, yes, yes. Join us then. Deuces.